Sometimes it's so easy to get off track in a relationship. And when we do, we can then find more ways to be more irritated with our partner. And we begin to focus on the distance and the crumbling instead of the connection. How do we get back to the connection? You know, it is possible. That's what we'll discuss in today's episode. Welcome to Soul Speak. I'm Meg Michelson. Thank you for being here, for sharing, for liking, for commenting, for just being part of this community, because my goal is to help us all become healthier, happier humans, more at peace and more connected with the coolness that resides in each one of us. So we all understand and share that light, because there's a lot of beauty with every single human here on earth. When Jacob sent me the invitation for the recording, I noticed this is episode 73. I was wowed. I don't pay attention to how many I've recorded or what number it is. I really don't. I just pay attention to the week and what my topic is going to be. But for some reason, this episode 73 really made me smile. It's a wow to me that we've done 73 episodes. So I just want to say thank you to this audience and thank you to Jacob for continuing to track with me and help me continue this process. And here we are at episode 73. Back to the topic. You know, when we're seeking peace and happiness and joy, and we all are in our relationships, we sometimes put so much of ourselves into that relationship and the connection with that relationship that we lose sight of, wait a minute, what happened here? Now I'm not even happy. And if I'm not happy, how can this relationship ever be happy? But I believe 25% of our life should be in our relationship and 75% should be elsewhere. Now that relationship, being in a significant other, infiltrates all areas of our life, hopefully, if there's a thread. Yet, our happiness does not reside just in that relationship. And we have been in challenging times for the past 5 years. And it's going to continue because everyone's trying to work out their stuff. We are in high energy times. We're all feeling it on some level. And when we're not careful, we're forgetting the lessons we learned and the healthier ways to live to get through the hard times so we can have healthier relationships with our partners. Like I said, it's so easy to get off track in a relationship. And then once that happens, the discontent, the irritation may grow, and we begin to focus on the distance instead of the connection. We begin to focus on the things that that partner is doing wrong instead of all the things it's doing right, you know, that partner. And you think about it. A day could be going great, and then this pattern comes up where our partner is doing that same thing, and all of a sudden, we are so unhappy with that partner, and now it's all we can focus on. Not that maybe they made us coffee or made us breakfast or changed the baby's diaper, you know, whatever it is, or said you look beautiful today. But there's that one thing that can blow everything up. And then that can get bigger than all the beauty. It is such a pattern I see in a lot of couples and in people just generally, right? There's a man that I'm working with and he really is hard on himself. He doesn't see all the beauty all the time. So we focus on the lack, or we focus on that one part that's we're not doing great, or that one pattern our partner is not doing well. And I want to ask you, because I ask myself this all the time, pay attention to how I'm breathing. When I'm in my work mode, and I've said this before, I am a recovering pleaser, and I love my work so much that I can really get caught up in work. It can be my jam. And then I notice that I'm working too much. All of a sudden, I'm not breathing well. Why do I know that? Because my shoulders start to get tight, because I am hunched, or even if I'm working, I'm not breathing enough. I'm doing a shallow breathing instead of a full lung breath. So when we're paying attention to how we are breathing and whether or not we are fully breathing or upper breathing, it's amazing how that will affect our day. Now think about the last time you were getting really irritated at your partner or someone else. Think back to how many times before that it was that same situation. And we stuff it away and we don't deal with it and we don't really resolve it within. So every time that happens, every time that one thing happens, we're holding it in and then we're going to blow. Why? Because we haven't taken the time to resolve it. Resolution takes time. Resolution takes honesty. We have to look at our own part. Resolution takes breath work. Because why? Because we have to be present to really resolve something. And if we're present, that means we're breathing. That means we are not upper breathing, but breathing. Or things just keep building till they blow. This is a small, silly example, but I was getting my dog's food out today, and they have a big container of food. I have two pretty big dogs. And if I have one hand on my coffee or on the food dish and one hand putting it, the container lid back on, it doesn't go on right. And I have a full day. Mondays tend to be a full day for me. All good stuff, all of my work I love, but yet a full day. And so I wanted to put the lid back on without emptying my other hand. And I could feel my frustration. And God, it was so silly. All I had to do was set the other thing down in my hand. But that's a pattern that I have with that dog food container, truly. And all I have to do is surrender to do the dog food container with two hands. Not that big of a deal. But we get caught in that silly cycle of whatever it is. So my pattern to change would be do the dog food container, knowing I'm going to need both hands. But when I have a full day and every moment seems precious, then that becomes so important, holding two things, doing two things at once, yet it never works. It never works because something doesn't have my attention. So when I feel that frustration, where do I feel it first? I feel it in my neck. I feel it in my shoulders. And that's the pattern. I notice it and I think, oh, I'm starting to get mad. At what? At the dog food container because I need two hands. It's so silly, right? But that's what we do. Think of an example in your life. Those little things, and it's really not about the dog food container. It's because I had a lot on my plate. However, I want to be present to those things on my plate. I want to be present to my partner. I want to stay in reality, not feel like my stuff is more important than my partner's stuff. But what's my part in it? And all of that is this beautiful web. And that web can lead us into truth. Or if we are allowing ourselves to be a little blind to our own stuff, it can lead us down the rabbit hole of blaming somebody else, our partner. So think about that. Think about those things that irritate you. And then what's underneath that? What's underneath that? We can have a beautiful experience or we can have a hard experience. You know, some people will say they like to squeeze the tube of toothpaste. The other person doesn't. That can be a source of irritation. Dirty clothes on the floor, source of irritation. The way someone chews, so a source of irritation. But when we were dating that person or early on, those were endearing qualities perhaps, right? Until they're not. Until now we've let the relationship start to crumble and those little things become a big deal. And we can shift that back by going into reality. Having more conscious connection time to self, and then conscious connection time to that person that we love. You know, asking yourself, what are the underlying issues here? What are the issues not being dealt with? Are we just continuing to be in a hurried state or stay busy? Or do we let ourselves have time with each other to talk about what's bothering me, what's bothering that person? Are we listening to each other? Or have we just given up? Are we sharing our needs and wants? Or have we just decided, it's no use, but I'm going to stay with this person and be miserable? Or I'm going to give it some conscious connection time. Now, I've said this before because this is so important. In my belief, what I've learned over time is there are five things that make a great relationship. And I want to dive a little deeper into those today. Mutual interests, mutual values, mutual respect, mutual trust, mutual attraction. Why are those five so key? I want you to think about that. I had a young person reach out to me today. They're having trouble with their own relationship, and they're quite young, you know, in their 20s. Lovely, lovely being. And my answer was, look at these five. If you feel like you can have strength in all five, then it's worth saving. If you're both invested, then it's worth saving. And we don't have to decide that in a nanosecond because we can't. We have to unpack it. We have to look at it. We have to take the time to really process through it. So what are those things? Mutual interest, that's one. And what does that mean, mutual interest? On some level, we might want to do something our partner doesn't want to do, right? Or we don't want to lose them, so we'll do just what they want us to do. We want to make sure to have a deep connection with someone. We want to trust them enough to say, I will do this with you. Like if someone wants to go to fishing or to the hunting cabin every weekend or to their little cabin up north, whatever it is, but I want to be in the city or I want to go dancing, maybe we could find a common ground. What are my interests? What are their interests? They don't all have to be 100%, but there should be some common ones. So if you're with someone, if your partner is not wanting to do anything you want to do, but you'll bend and do what they want to do, if someone's really into sports, say, and the other person loves music, can you compromise? Can you do sports sometimes and music sometimes? This does take two people. But if there's no interests that are like, it's going to be very hard to maintain that relationship. So if I keep bending and they're not giving time to me, or now I love to dance. If my partner doesn't want to dance ever, that's never going to work for us. However, I could go to the cabin sometimes if that partner will dance with me. But what are the things that we like to do together? So if they're dancing with me and maybe we'll enjoy it, or if I'm at the cabin and I can sit and enjoy nature, then we can have that mutual time, even though our interests were not exactly the same. We can grow to love what the other person does. We just don't want to do it at the expense of self because then we're resentful. There needs to be a commonality here. So what happened to get the two of you together? What interest did you have? That were maybe you love to talk politics. Maybe you're both into creating something. Maybe you both love to listen to music. Whatever those interests were, go back. Look at them again. You can find that commonality if you're both willing. But it is so important to have things you do together. And when we allow ourselves to have those shared interests, the other things like attraction is much easier. Otherwise, once resentment hits, that attraction starts to go down. Another category is the mutual values. Now, what does that mean to value? And I brought up values before, and I could talk about values for years. There are so many things about values. Second house in the astrological wheel is the house of value. What do we value? What's mine versus what someone else's? And I might not have the same values as my partner, but I sure hope that we have most of them that connect. If I value family time and family vacation, and they value doing things by themselves all the time or friends over family, that's probably not going to be a good fit. But if it can be, sometimes we're with our family and sometimes with our friends, if we can get to the balance and we're both okay with it, that's the key. We both have to be okay with it. So if I value humor and I love watching comedies, and he's really serious and he only wants to listen to the news, maybe my comedies are going to bother him. We don't have to live that way, remember. We really want to understand, what are my values? And can my partner and I match that? So if I value healthy eating and exercise, which I do, it would be very hard for me to be with a partner that doesn't value taking care of their physical self. I might expect them to change, or I might say, this isn't going to work, but maybe they want to change, right? We have to have the discussions. We have to have open communication in order to get to what's underneath that. And it depends on how long you've been together. I don't go into it knowing or expecting I'm going to change somebody, because I can't change anybody. You can't change anybody. Only that person can change if they want to, if it's something they value. Remember the value system. So I can be putting healthy food in front of my partner all day long and they can be rejecting it unless they value healthy eating, unless they value exercise. So if you're single, make sure you're finding a partner or open to a partner that you have shared values. We can say, oh, we'll still get along. No, we really don't. We really have to have that shared value system. If someone wants to live in the city and someone wants to live in the country and there's no compromise, could be, right? We can get a house in the city and we can go to the country or vice versa, whatever it is, if you have the money for that. Or you can compromise. But if we're not actually compromising authentically and our values are not aligned, it is going to be a really choppy relationship. And then it'll be led by a lot of resentment. The more we are pulling ourselves away from each other or pretending it doesn't matter when it does, the more distance we're creating either within ourselves when we're saying, I can keep doing everything that that person wants me to do. I can let go of what I want. That's creating a distance within yourself. If I'm going to continue putting my partner's needs in front of my own, my former spouse loved sports, and I've never been a big sports person, but I would watch with him, and then it became really fun, and then I loved it. And then he would do things for me too. We found that mutual interest because why? Because we valued the relationships. You have to value the relationship. Is that part of your value system? Otherwise, I would have been really resentful for being involved in watching sports. And he would have been really resentful or alone. The distance would have been even more so had we not found ways to compromise because we valued the relationship. That's a value, right? If you're with a partner and they don't value the relationship, you're just someone they come home to, but they put all of their emphasis outside of you, that's something to consider, or if you're doing it to them. It is okay, and it is really important, remember, to put your needs before the needs of somebody else. So for instance, you know, in my belief system, every day when I wake up and I do my meditation, I ask to be divinely led. My connection with spirit, my connection with my higher power, my connection with this divinity is really important to me. That comes first. My connection to myself is what is the next stage for me. Before I can really be great at anything I do, I have to connect with myself. I have to put my needs first. Now, remember, I'm a recovering pleaser, so I don't always do that. I'm working on it, but it's important that I do. Why? Because then I feel less tired. I feel more full. I feel more inner peace, and inner peace is so important. We cannot find external peace until we find internal peace. Once we find it, then our relationships go much better. We have to know what's causing the distance. And putting someone else's needs in front of your own will always cause a distance, unless it's a short time, you know, or if you have a partner that is needing a lot of care from you, maybe they had an injury. Still, do what you can to stretch your village so you have support too. We cannot sustain it if we are always putting ourselves last or always putting ourselves second. Our relationship will not survive in a healthy way. It might survive, but it won't thrive. So do you value yourself? In order to really have a good relationship, what do I value? Know what you value, and then of course we have to live it. But are you valuing yourself enough? You know, anytime we want a relationship to work, we have to be vulnerable and talk about what's bothering us in a healthy way, because I value healthy communication. So it's up to me to do it, even if my partner's not. I value healthy communication. Hopefully my partner does. Sometimes, however, and I caught myself with my daughter one time, she called me on it. I might roll my eyes, you know, that was someone I know, and they were rolling their eyes when their partner was talking about something. And I see that, you know, catch yourself. Are you an eye roller? It's so disrespectful. And my daughter said to me, you're rolling your eyes when I'm talking. I was. And because it was frustrating me, and I didn't want to deal with it in the moment. Well, I don't have to deal with it in the moment, but rolling my eyes is disrespectful to her. So what's a better way? When you feel like eye rolling, take a breath. Don't roll our eyes. Take a breath and say, okay, what's underneath this? I got to unpack this a little bit. And when we are so busy, we're not unpacking. But what do we value? If we value self-care, if we do, that's beyond physical exercise. Self-care is also emotional. Self-care is allowing time to unpack our feelings. Something I read recently was, give yourself 10 minutes every day to just connect with your feelings. Write them down. Write about the things that are bothering you. Why? Write about the things that are really great. Why? No, just don't focus on just the bad. Because the more we allow ourselves to live our values, the easier it is, which is bringing us to the next topic, which is mutual trust, much easier to trust ourselves and others when we are living our value system. I was talking with a woman who kind of lost her footing on her self-confidence. And what it came down to is she was living for others and not herself. Her value system started to shift where she used to feel like she was a bright, shiny light and confident, but she started doling out all of her energy to others. And what happens is now we lose that connection to self. I said that a little bit ago. And now we don't trust ourselves. We don't have as much confidence. If we want to trust someone else, that mutual trust that is so important in a relationship, we really have to trust ourselves, which means we have to value the self-care, which is beyond the physical. Physical self-care, absolutely, but also emotional and soul self-care. That means nurturing self, giving ourselves time. And the more we allow that, doesn't have to be excessive, but balanced and enough, the more we trust ourselves. And it's much easier to trust our partner if we trust ourselves. You know, we oftentimes think of trust as emotional and physical monogamy. Trust is way bigger than that. It's more than that. Trust is also communicating with each other, sharing our day, giving each other the time. Otherwise, we stop because we don't trust that person's even gonna listen. A man I know stopped telling his wife about his plans for his business. He just stopped. He didn't feel like it anymore. He didn't want her reaction, or he didn't want to share it because he just wanted to do what he wanted to do. Even though she really actually created that safe container like I talk about. But he just was tired and just wanted to do it. And he started to pull away. And then she started to wonder what else he had been keeping from her. And then she started to go into disempowerment and wondered what she was doing wrong, and was it ever trustworthy, and was the relationship ever good? And then she stopped trusting herself and brought in more doubt. So in order to get that back, trust with our partner, we first have to excavate. Doesn't have to be done in one sitting. That means connecting to our emotions, connecting to why am I feeling this way. And then we start to build back the self-trust. Then we are not feeling disempowered or in victim. Otherwise, we have this ongoing tension between the two of us, ongoing tension stemming from those unresolved issues that come from a lack of communication, lack of trust. And that lack of trust can come from not living our values, not taking care of ourselves, not communicating healthfully with each other. But when we get stuck, that inability to move beyond those issues, that really hinders the relationship in all sorts of ways, in all ways. Getting back that trust means we have to be vulnerable. We have to talk about what is important to us. We have to be able to talk about, I don't feel connected to you anymore, and I don't even know that you're honest with me, and this is how I'm feeling, and I don't even know if it's the truth. I just want us to have an open conversation about it. Yet, remember, we also have to have those open conversations with ourselves first. That doesn't mean we fall into a corner and ruminate and over-ruminate. It's more than that. It's the ability to learn how to tune into our emotions and then pull out the truth. Am I in clarity or am I in illusion? But go into curiosity, go into wonder. This is how I'm feeling. Can we talk about it? Because I'm not sure if this is true or not. And I'm really curious. I wonder. So that means if I'm curious and I'm wondering, I'm actually going to listen. And we do that together, right? But we do our own work independently. We need our own work to be in a state of building and building and building, not once a year, but daily. Check in with self daily and check in with your partner daily. But truly, first we have to learn how to be healthy and check in with ourselves. And we can do that tandem as long as we're working on self. But if we're only working on the partnership, it's never going to work. we have to work on our relationship with ourselves. Reflect on the patterns that led to the mistrust. Consider what those underlying reasons were. And, you know, remember, in order for trust to be built, we have to be vulnerable with ourselves in order to be vulnerable with another. Vulnerable does not mean I'm in victim mode. Vulnerable means I'm strong, I'm listening, I'm curious, I'm in wonder, and I'm going to be authentic from an empowered standpoint, not from the victim standpoint. And that's where we can build trust and move forward. And that's where someone doesn't have power over, because this woman that was having that issue with her husband where he wasn't telling her his decisions anymore, she started to feel disempowered, remember? She was losing her power to him. And then she started to do way more self-care again and brought the beauty back into her life. Then she can start trusting herself again to move in the right direction. You know, when you look back at all of these, the mutual interest, the mutual trust, the mutual values, that does lead to that mutual respect and the mutual attraction. What does respect mean in a relationship? Respect means even though they're not doing everything perfect overall, I do respect that being. And everything, remember, is a mirror. So if we don't respect ourselves, if we're not living our value system, it's very hard to respect ourselves. If we say, I want to take good care of my body, and every day I get the nudge, but I'm not doing it today because I don't want to get out of bed, or I'm not doing it today because I'm too tired, or I'm not doing it today because I'm overscheduled. Now we stop really leaning on the trust we have within ourselves, and we respect ourselves a little less and a little less, which leads to a lower self-esteem. Respect is so important, self-respect. It does not mean, and I hope you don't think it means that we're supposed to be a perfectionist, because absolutely we're not. Respect means I'm doing the best I can and being kind to myself and giving myself, right? It's the 80% rule. I eat 80% healthy, maybe 20% not. I live 80% healthy, maybe 20% not. But that gist of most of me lives a really healthy life, and sometimes I'm going to make mistakes, but I still respect myself, because the effort I put in and the way I've built my self-esteem. And I really do value who I am. And then I respect who I am. That's the ideal. That's what we want. And that's what we work towards. And when you're respecting yourself, you'll respect your partner more, of course, because you're equals on some level. But also, if your partner is not living their value system, it's going to be harder to respect them. If they value honesty and they stop being honest, or if they value being a good dad, but they start not paying any attention to the kids, have those conversations. Try not to just let it all happen in your head, because the respect can come back. Maybe they just have to have a wake-up call in a healthy way, or maybe you have to have a wake-up call. What's your part in it? Really, we have to look at what's my part in this. If I expect my spouse or my partner to be taking better care of the house and the kids. If they don't, do I just step in and do it and then feel resentful? Or do I say, you know, that was your chore, so I'm just going to let you do it, and I'm not going to keep overcompensating. I'm not going to go on those codependent behaviors. Why? Because I'm not respecting you because you're not doing your stuff. And now I'm not respecting me because I'm doing it for you instead of building a healthier environment. Remember, all of those pieces lead to greater attraction or less attraction. And we can get it back. We just got to haul it out. We want to get back into, what does this person mean to me? Am I seeing this person with a clear mind? Am I really ready to rebuild the connection? Do I value that person enough? I have to value that person enough if I really want to move forward with that person, if I feel like we can rebuild. But if we're looking for happiness in that person and we haven't found it within, that's the work we have to do. It's not up to our partner, because that partner isn't, it's only a part of our happiness. Most of our happiness, our peace, comes from within. I want to really address this piece. In order for that relationship to have a shot, we want to focus not just on the serious, not just on the broken, but allow opportunities for finding reconnection. Allow opportunities to be silly together. Allow opportunities to get out and have fun. Allow opportunities where you are touching that person's hand maybe, or their face, or hugging more, being present with that person. Allow opportunities to remember all the good things about them, the good things that you love. Build that up again. Be in appreciation. Be in gratitude. And then we can deal with those things, but not just focusing on the stress or the challenge. We want to focus on the good too. That's where reality will come in. I hope you have a beautiful week. And again, thank you for being here on my episode 73. I'm so very grateful you are. And have a wonderful week, a wonderful day. And I hope you will be back on my next episode. Thank you.